All right, so we're looking at concerning the gifts of God. We began to look at that some time ago. And we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 concerning the gifts of God, where we read, now concerning spiritual gifts, that in the King James, in which you have it italicized, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 4, which we're particular about, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And the diversity of operations, but the same God that worketh all in all. Romans chapter 12. And verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many have one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. So he talks about gifts that are given to us. Now, one important scripture that I want to point our attention to is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. The teaching of God's word brings information, but beyond information, the teaching of God's word brings precision. When you learn the word of God, you are precise, you are more effective in the things that are in the scriptures. And that's why it's important that Christians should be fed the word, to be fed the word of God. Many are not fed. And that's been the case for years for some of us who have been around. It's just been the same case. And if you look around, you just find that different teachings fly across. You know, today, the next 1 year, some people preaching something after a year, some people preaching other stuff. It just goes round and round like that. But it takes a man who is given to the word to know that the word of God is always consistent. In every season, in every time. So, a subject like this, for instance, you only find Christians who really understand it very well. In fact, some people believe this, that I remember years back, I took a series on the gifts of the Spirit. That was 95. And it was a school, and I taught it for 2 weeks and taught for 8 hours every day on that subject. And a preacher told me that, well, he felt that really these things are for ministers. That if you allow certain believers to know these things, that they won't really stay in church like that. You know, that's the way they see it. Like, there's some information that shouldn't get to people, but it's not totally right. It's wrong. Because one of the things Paul said to them in Ephesus was that he did not shun to declare to them the entire counsel of God. And that, you know, the reason why you may not be able to receive something is not because God doesn't want to receive it, it's because you are not capable of receiving, and that's not God's fault. That stems from you. That stems from your attitude towards the things of God. That's nothing to do with God. It's you. It's some things that, and you know, when it comes to the church, when people don't understand things, they criticize what they don't understand. And I said that in church when I was in the book of Galatians, I remember. That I said that even though it was obvious that Peter did not understand Paul, he didn't criticize him. Because if somebody is teaching and is quoting from the scriptures, and some talk about people twisting scriptures, I tell someone, I say, well, if someone is twisting scriptures, then straighten it out. Praise God. Don't run away from him. You understand? And it was obvious that Peter didn't understand Paul. Even after the encounter they had, Peter still had to write it by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So he wasn't lying. That He actually didn't understand Paul. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. But that was not the reason to disagree with him. You get my point? Or to speak evil of him. Which is how people treat things. Now, on issues like this, again, rather than people being well taught, you know, by the word, oftentimes when they seem not to understand it, what I do, if I don't understand a scriptural subject, and I see that I used to do that years ago when I was coming up really. And I discovered that, well, and the fellow teaching is quoting from the scripture. It takes a serious Christian. You look at it, well, this person is laying it down verse by verse. He's he's taking it from different portions of scripture. They want to pray for understanding. The Bible says, in order to get him, get what? Understanding. Get understanding. You can have the scriptures and not understand. You understand? So you get understanding. And that's why Paul would say, to pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Now look at this, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 1. Now this Paul saying, he said to the church that so that you come behind in no gifts, waiting. Let me start from 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Notice that. Look at the grace of God. He says that in everything you are enriched by him. In what? 1, 2. Let's go over verse 5 again. Together, I want to go. I thought I said everybody should read. That means you didn't open. Let's take it again. Want to go? You are enriched by him in all utterance, in all knowledge. So, they were enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Now look at verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now look at verse 7. So, if you are enriched in all knowledge, and you are enriched in all utterance, if you are full of the word, what will be the result? You will not come behind in, can you see that? In any gift. Do you understand that? That means if you are well taught, you will not come behind in any gift. Now, Paul is not saying that these guys are effective in the gifts. Apparently that's why he wrote the letter to them and corrected certain things. But obviously, they were informed. You go to the Corinthian church and bamboozle them with, well, not all believers speak in tongues, that some believers have special gifts. They're not likely to listen to you. Because the apostle had taught them and fed them for them to understand something that basic. And look at this. That's the church that Paul said he fed with milk. I mean, that's enough marking scheme for many churches today. If the Corinthian church was fed with milk, I did not come behind in any gift. Isn't that serious? That's very serious. I mean, look at that. So what he wrote them, to them in 1 Corinthians 12, was to take them from milk to meat. Not that he taught milk in 1 Corinthians 12. The book of 1 Corinthians. He said, I have fed you. So the essence of the letter was to take them from milk to meat. So it wasn't meat. You know, when you introduce a baby to meat, you start small, you know. You start small, semi-solid, right? So what we have in 1 Corinthians is actually what we can call semi-solid. Okay, let's see whether you can take this. Do you understand this? You know, and all that. And from baptism to sex and marriage to meat offer to idols to covering of the head to loss of power to gifts to love. I mean, and these are the major things that today we are battling. People still believe that if you're not baptized in water, you're not a Christian. Some say you're a Christian, but you need that water thing. It has to. You need to feel the water. So it's just about the same thing. So if you're well taught in the word, you will not come behind in any gifts. So when you see a church that is behind in any gift, it's because they are not enriched in knowledge. So they need knowledge. So when we're looking at this kind of subject concerning the gifts of God, it's so that you will, just like Paul said, the testimony of Christ will be confirmed, he said, as you await the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Alright, so you know, people rather will go and learn about who is the next Antichrist, who is the former Antichrist, rather than know the gift of God. You know, they're just jobless. Now they say, who is the Antichrist? I said, I don't care. He said, I'm supposed to know the Christ, not the Antichrist. Amen. That's always key. Because there cannot be an Antichrist reigning when there is a Christ. All authority in heaven and earth is given to the church. Until the church leaves, there cannot be a reign of any Antichrist. Except Jesus lied. You believe Jesus? So there's no point stressing yourself. Praise God. No matter what the films you have watched. You know, as long as they were not written by Paul. Amen. Praise God. Anybody can drink
garri,
write a film, or eat a bar. Amen. All right, let's see. So we said last week that the Holy Ghost was not given to the church, okay, from God. You know that we said that Jesus is a gift. Okay, let me say that again. So that the Holy Ghost was not given to the world. Okay, you know it was Jesus that was given. Jesus is a gift of God. The Holy Ghost is the gift of Christ. I think we explained that well last week, and that was clear to all of us. Now let me show you a couple of things. You see, anytime people, listen carefully, you know, it looks a bit different, it looks a bit strange, but anytime people talk about, you have Jesus, you have received Jesus, they say, go and ask God for the Holy Spirit. They are actually teaching you a false gospel. Anytime anybody brings Christ to you as incomplete, it's a false gospel. A false gospel, I told you, does not take away, it only adds to it. It's either Jesus is all that God gave, or Jesus was not sufficient. But we've seen in the Word that Jesus is sufficient. Now look at Colossians 2, verse 9. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So you can see that Jesus has what? The fullness of God. Can you see that? Alright. You know, people think that when Jesus said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know people think that if I'm the way to God? That's a lot of ignorance. Jesus is not the way to God, though. Amen. That's why he didn't say I'm the way. He said I am the truth and I am the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is, you don't come to God, you come to Him. That's what he's saying. He says, he that has seen me. No, Philip now act like us. Say, show us the Father. Show us now. Since you are the way. You are the Mirosoko. Show us the Word. Show us the Lord. He said, you have seen me. You don't know the Father. So Christ is a revelation of God. He is all that God has to say and has to do. He doesn't show us God. He is God's revelation. Let me see how you understand that. He's not the way. He's not the way to God. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. John 14:6. So it's complete. God is revealed in Him. God is given to us in Him. The fatherhood of God is given to us in Him. The Holy Spirit is given to us in Him. The sonship that God gives is given to us in Him. There is nothing that is not in Him. Hallelujah. So anyone that preaches Christ plus deliverance, Christ plus, what else do you have? Sanctification. Christ plus tithes. Christ plus baptism. Christ plus holiness is teaching a false gospel. There's no plus. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10 together. Want to go? Colossians 2. You've left the place. Colossians 2:10. Stand complete in Him. So you can see there's nothing missing in the new creation. The new creation does not have abundance. It is abundance. Amen. It's God's abundance in humanity. So, having seen that, so anything that you hear plus Christ, and basically, there's no plus Christ. It's Christ. The plus is in Christ. Hallelujah. The plus is in Christ. It's not after Christ. Look at Romans 8. Verse 32. Are you there? Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not what? With him also. The word with him is to accompany him. That is something that comes with him. So Jesus Christ is the gift of God to us. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of all of the gifts we have from God. He shall with him freely give us of all things. And the nature of all of God's gifts is in the nature by which He gave Jesus. The way He gave Jesus to us, that we don't work for it, we don't labor for it, we don't pray for it, we don't fast for it, is the same way all the gifts accompanied with Jesus come to us. Say freely given. So if it is not free, it is not Christ. Note that. If it is not free, it is not Christ. Look at eternal life. Eternal life did not, Jesus did not give you eternal life. He says, he that believes in the Son has eternal life. That's what he said. He that believes in the Son has eternal life. John 3:16. Now, 1 John 5 now says, he that has the Son has life. Why? Because this life is in the Son. So the Son does not give life. John 14:6, the Son is life. Righteousness, for instance, is not a gift that came to us like Jesus died for us and now gave us righteousness. No. Romans 5:17, it says, we have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness is Jesus himself. That is the gift of righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made or become, or that we might be the righteousness of God. Where? In him. So where is righteousness of God? In him. So there's no righteousness apart from in him. Sanctification is in him. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of whom of God is made unto us sanctification. So there's no, it's not like you are saved, then God now gives you sanctification. Mm-mm. It is in the gift of Christ that you find sanctification. It's in the gift of Christ that you will find redemption. It's in the gift of Christ that you will find righteousness. It's not after you have received Christ, then you receive, that's a false gospel. Hallelujah. So the Christ is all. Is all. It's actually all. Okay? Now, so 1 Corinthians 12. Now, notice something I want you to see. Look at Matthew 10. Now, whatever comes from Christ, just like Christ is, whatever comes from Christ is free. In Matthew 10, verse 8, he asked the disciples, the apostles now, to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have what? Received. Freely give. When people on television asking you to give money for those kind of things, just know that they are not preaching Christ. And they say they are not of Christ. Do you understand? They can be Christians who have not renewed their minds or are ignorant or just giving to the flesh. You see? But if someone says that, come and give, oh, there was one lady that came on air and said, the woman preacher was very disgraceful. She said that she would bring money for the day of atonement, she would take your sins to God. I said, you are a thief. What kind of nonsense is that? That one is, she is of Christ. She's born again. Obviously, of course. It's obvious she's born again. Because you have to be born again to see that kind of thing. So, but obviously, she is not preaching Christ. People don't know the difference. She is not preaching Christ. Christ is freely given. Whatever comes from Christ is free. So, in 1 Corinthians 12, let's get back there, which is our text for today. 1 Corinthians 12. No, before we go there, look at Romans 11. Romans 11. 29. Are you there? Okay. Can we take it together? Once you go, for the gifts and calling of God, are without. Take it again. For the gifts and calling of God. No, you say the gifts. Say the gifts. The gifts of God are without repentance. That means they are irrevocable. You know what that means? It doesn't mean they must be received. Listen carefully. It means that when God gives something, he doesn't withdraw it at any point. It is giving. Why? Because it is the word gives there is the Greek word that means freely giving. That means there was no condition attached to it. That is why it is without repentance. There was no condition attached to it that, well, if you now do this, if you do this, I'll take it back. There is no condition attached to it. Tell me, freely giving. So that's clear from the word. So 1 Corinthians 12. Get back there. 1 Corinthians 12. So there, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. Now, after he said this, you'll be working, okay, ministries, gifts, operations that we saw last week. Now look at 7 and be very, very intelligent. 7 together. 1 to go. Take it again. Take it again. Now, what's the key word there? You know, in the mind of I don't remember well, my expression of the spirit, what's that? They say, it's given to every man, to profit without. But the key word there is given. Hallelujah. Notice he didn't say the manifestation will be given. He says is given. Now English will put it as what? Is given there, is it past tense? Or present tense? Or future tense? Eh? Past tense. So, I mean, that's the tense we can use on that, basically. Is given. So that means that the manifestation of the Spirit is what? Is a gift of God. Praise God. Is that okay? Do you understand that? That is the manifestation of the Spirit is a gift of God. That means it is irrevocable. Hallelujah. Okay? So when it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit, of course, when you see the word every man, when you see there are two words there that tell you that the manifestation of the Spirit is in Christ. When it says every man, that is Christ. It's Christ that is every man. And of course, freely given. So that manifestation of the Spirit is given, is a gift. It's a gift of God in Christ Jesus. And now notice this. Notice this. What is manifestation? Manifestation is a word that means, it's a simple word. For instance, how do I want to put it now? There was this story of how the governor of Lagos State once went to one of the hospitals and he disguised as an old man, put on beard and all that. So he got to the, what do you call this place again? Doctor, counter, reception, what do you call it? Eh? Reception, counter, that thing, Shah, that you force me people and they give you cards. And he says, give me a card. And the woman said, go away, you don't know how to get cards. She was shouting at the guy and all that. And then I said, please, when all that. He went to another person and I said, go, please, can you go? I've been taxed his money. What is your government? They even pay us. Then there was now a manifestation. No, I'll tell you, it's not a joke. Then he said, yeah, of course, that manifestation shows that you have lost your job. But basically, what I'm saying is that manifestation means to unveil something. Amen. For something to be laid open. Hallelujah. For something to be laid open, to be made open. So, that means that there is such a gift of God that brings the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, open to all of us. Hallelujah. That is, the Holy Ghost, the things of the Holy Ghost are being brought to us in no mysterious fashion. It has been laid open. And you know the interesting part? It's in form of a gift. So God actually placed in us a gift. That is, He delivered to us a gift which opens the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So the manifestation is given. So we'll be given. So definitely that word, the manifestation of the Spirit, is talking about the gift of Christ. What God gave in Christ. That's the only way you can find something that is freely given to all. So, notice that. So, the manifestation is giving. So, that means that when something is given, and I showed you last week, when something is given, what is the response of whom it is given to? Beautiful. So, the difference between one believer and the other believer is receiving. It is the way they receive it, or even if they will receive it at all. Because the manifestation is what? And it is without repentance. So, we all receive. You don't receive gifts as salvation. You only receive Christ. The gifts are in Christ. Never forget that. So that manifestation is in Christ. What happens to us is that we have levels of our understanding of what is available in Christ. Let me show you something interesting. And, you know, you are students of the word, so you understand it. Go to Ephesians 4. Let me show you something. Some people are called prophets today because they resemble Isaiah. not simply because they preach the Spirit of Christ. Some people are called prophets because of the way they sound. But look at something. Let me show you something. See, the Bible is very clear on what Christ did. There was no carryover of the prophetic office of the Old Testament. Look at it. Ephesians 4. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and did what? And did what? So that means that, now, he now tells you what he meant by ascend up on high. Look at verse 9. Now, that he ascended, what is it? But he also did what? Descended. First into the lower part of the earth. So that is the redemptive work, right? When he died and was buried, 1 Corinthians 5, 1 to 3, right? And he rose up, okay? He ascended up far above all levels that he might fill all things, and he gave some. So that means that the office of the prophet now is not the same. It's not the same as the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. The office of a prophet or an apostle or a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist, you know, is a gift of Christ. So the person who is a prophet of Christ. So what should he be revealing to you? Let me see if you understood that. Let me see, do you get that? Okay, now let me give you an intelligent question. I think I've asked before, but I'll ask again. What now happens to the 12 apostles? Well, 11, because one of them decided to die. The 12 that were apostles before Jesus ascended upon. What kind of apostle do we call them? Since it's clear here that it was when he ascended up that he gave gifts unto men. Because it's clear from the events that he ascended up, right? And even 1 Corinthians 12:28 says that he set them in the church. So there was no church before Jesus died and rose from the dead. Hallelujah. That's just some intelligent thing. Just think about it. And we'll come to that. But basically, every prophet and apostle or teacher must teach Christ because he's a gift of Christ. Amen. Are you there? Okay. So, the manifestation is in Christ. Never separate Jesus from all that God is doing or has done. That leads us often into error. Praise God. So, amen. So, the manifestation is in Christ. Praise God. And where are you? So, you are no stranger to the manifestation of the Spirit. You are not a stranger. You could have made yourself a stranger because of your thinking. But you are really not a stranger. Because you are born of God. Hallelujah. Alright. Now, let me show you a couple of things. Look at Mark 16. Verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. It takes a dumb person, I thought he would say shall be dumb, sometimes really, to think that he was talking about the apostles here. He said the apostles should preach, right? So the signs will follow who? The apostles who believe. It takes, even if you have half brain, can I hear you say that well? If you don't understand this, say we'll call for 12 elders to lay hands on you and ask God to put something in your head apart from water. Because this is very true. He says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So this sign shall follow who? Them that preach, them that do what? Good. So that means that for everyone that believes, these signs accompany him. Okay? Now, the gifts that God gave in Romans 8:32 is they are given with who? with Christ. Right? They are giving with Christ. So these signs shall accompany them that believe. You know why? Because they have received Christ. It doesn't mean that automatically believers will walk in these things. Because these things have to be what? They have to be received. They have to be received. These signs shall follow. The word there is accompany. Them that believe. Same word we saw in Romans 8:32. Them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They shall drink dead. They shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the children. They shall recover. Now observe something. This is the point. Did you notice something? That if you read Matthew 10 and Luke 9 and Luke 10, when Jesus commanded the apostles, both the 12 and the 70, to go and preach, everything here they did, with the exception of one thing, speaking in tongues. Let me see if you understand that. Everything here they did, with the exception of tongues. In other words, watch this. Notice something. In Luke 9 and Luke 10, you check this yourself, the signs they were to see were proofs of the defeat of Satan. They were proofs of Jesus' authority, over Satan. They were the proofs of Jesus' authority over Satan. Because when they came back in Luke 10, and they said that, Peter must have been the one to first say it anyway, that, Master, even the devils are subject to us through your name, in verse 17. He said, they came back rejoicing, and Jesus said to them, rejoice not. He first told them that, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So he told them in verse 19, I have given you authority. He said authority, to trample of serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, well, rejoice not in this, but rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life. So he was talking about that it was based on his authority that they went, because he actually gave them the authority. Now, that is because Jesus had, listen carefully to what I'm going to say, you have to pick it. Jesus had the authority, so he gave them. So in Mark 16 again, he speaks about that same authority, but however, it comes from redemption. The fact that he had died and risen again, so he said, go in my name. Go in my name. So now they can go in his name. They can go in his stead. Not because it's just Jesus and the anointed of God, but because he has actually all principles and power. Now, when he added tongues, do you know the difference? Tongues do not deal with the devil directly. Tongues deal with God, correct? Every other thing he mentioned there was for who? Was towards the works of Satan. Can you see it? Save one thing. Are you following this? Can you see this? Now, he now spoke of tongues. Now, tongues definitely, whether you read Acts 2 or Acts 10 or Acts 19, deal with God. Deal with God. Now, they deal with God. That is, tongues birth from relationship. They deal with God. 1 Corinthians 42, he that speaks in tongues speaks to who? God. Okay? Alright. Now, watch something I'm going to say now. However, again, the devil comes into the picture because, again, he says that he speaks mysteries. There's only one person that God's word and the things of God are to be a mystery to, and that is Satan. So that means that in Christ, our communications with the Father exclude Satan's understanding. So we speak this mystery that the prince of this world did not know. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:6, read to verse 8. So when we speak mysteries, we actually shield Satan from understanding what we are discussing. Until we put it out in prophecy. Even with that, he will not understand. So here again, you see the manifestation of the Spirit that really it deals with our relationship with God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So tongues deal with communication, not with the devil, not with the things of the devil, but with God. That's the only thing that I said will follow them that believe. That is, as they are casting out devils and dealing with the works of Satan, they will communicate with God, and no man in the flesh will know where they stand. There's only one God of this world and God of that flesh, and that's Satan. He cannot comprehend what is being discussed. So when you see people haggle over tongues, see, the truth of the matter is that they are Satan's houseboys. They are working for him. Because he's the only one to whom that is supposed to be a sign. Tongues is a sign to them that believe not. That says, if our gospel be hid, it hid to them who believe not. In whom the God of this world, amen, amen. Do you get this? If our gospel be hid, is hid to whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them that believe not. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But when a believer does not comprehend the word of God, he will think like someone that doesn't believe. Tongues is supposed to be so elementary. It's not supposed to be something we should fight over. It's too elementary. It's actually milk. Praise God. Okay, so that man of the Spirit is given in Christ Jesus. Nothing is excluded. Nothing. So all the gifts of God are in that manifestation. Everything that is, things are available in Christ. It's not after Christ. Okay. Don't say, well, let me say this now so that you understand. Now come you. What's your name? Yes, you. What's your name? Omo. Okay. Assuming Omo now, Omo comes to Jesus, and then this is the way we think. Omo comes to Jesus and then Omo says, Jesus, I make you my Lord. Well, the other way around, Jesus actually comes to him. Then Jesus enters his heart. Then Omo is supposed to go home, thank God, he's born again. Then maybe the next day he comes. They say, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. In our minds, then the Holy Spirit comes on Omo. Right? Then he speaks in tongues. After Jesus, then the Holy Ghost comes. Then maybe after that, Omo now has the Holy Spirit, called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then 6 years after, Omo is now called to pastor. So as he's being called to pastor, God now sends, I don't know what he's going to send now, but I think it's something, which one? Anointing. So Omo takes another anointing. So maybe he's weak and they send him to Afghanistan. Ujogule. He comes to Lagos and he receives another anointing. You know what's going on? Sit down. Thank you, Omo. Really, in our experience, it appears like that. What we are doing is that we are receiving what has been given. Praise God. Oh, this is the essence of this teaching. You are receiving what has been given. Nobody is giving you anything. Hallelujah. You are receiving what has been given. Because it has been given. He has with Christ freely given us all things. Hallelujah. Amen. This is very interesting. We look at the ministry. That pastor, are you saying that I can be a pastor? No. No. Don't look at it like that. Don't look at that. I can choose to be an apostle. If you choose to be an apostle, then you are not receiving. You are becoming. Amen. Okay, let's see. 2 Timothy chapter 1. See, 2 Timothy 1, 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. That you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Amen. I asked you last week that what gift is he talking about? Someone said ministry. It's the Holy Ghost. It can't be the Holy Ghost, of course. So he says ministry. Why? Timothy as a minister said, so why didn't he take gifts? Because Timothy is supposed to be an apostle, right? He's a teacher. He's also a pastor. And of course, he was told to do the work of an evangelist. So the gifts should have been in italics if he was referring to ministry gifts. Hallelujah. You are quiet now. First Timothy 4. So, you know, some of you are just looking. Because you don't think when you're listening. You should be thinking. You think along. Think along. 1 Timothy 4, 14. Neglect not the gift, see it again, which is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Hallelujah. So, okay. When I said the presbytery, that is the eldership, which involves Paul. Okay? Now, observe something. He says the gift that was given you. Use that word gift. Gift in plural. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, please go there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, gifts are in what? They are in the plural form. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 12 again, verse 31, the gifts are in plural. Okay? Okay? Now, where do you find the gift in a singular fashion? It's verse 7 now. Can you see it? It's verse 7. Now, let's see something. What was he saying? Notice that example I gave about Omar. He has been, the gift of God to him is Christ. In Christ are all things. Praise God. Right? In Christ are all things. Alright? Now, watch something. We'll look at a classic example. Obviously, when Paul was in Timothy, he said, look, they laid hands on you. He first used himself. He mentioned the presbytery. And he now looked at prophecy. So, we'll look at a classic example. Praise God. Look at Acts of the Apostles. Acts 13. Are you following? Okay. Verse 1. I will read 13. I will take two together. You ready? Now there were in the church that were in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manahen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and so on. So everybody here was either a prophet or a teacher or both. Right? Okay, good. Now, verse 2, together. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, so in what way did the Holy Ghost speak? Did he use a microphone? Did he speak from heaven? Thank you, intelligent. By what? Prophecy. So the Holy Ghost intimated them by prophecy. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work with them. Now look at verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Right? Now, see verse 4. One, two, go. So they've been sent forth by who? Can you imagine? Now, who actually sent them away? But he used instrumentation of who? Or prophet or teacher. His ministry went out of Antioch and reached the world. Notice that. But look at the instrumentation. There was laying on of hands, and there was what? Prophecy. Now, look at the content of that prophecy. To the work where what? I have called them. Notice the work preceded the laying of hands. But they were not involved in it. Let me see if you understood that. Do you get that? That statement shows that there was a walk before that meeting. They were made aware during that meeting. They started functioning in that walk after that meeting. Praise God. Are you listening to this? Good. After that meeting. Now, go to Timothy again. It says, which was in you by the putting on of my hands. Right? Now, look at chapter 1, verse 18. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1 now, verse 18. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that have gone before on you, that thou by them may war a good warfare. Chapter 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So the prophecy was supposed to inform. And in his own experience, that was when he received it.
That was not when God gave him. That was when he received it available to him in Christ. So, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. What happens to us is that we receive differently. And we receive to the measure of our information. Paul had been ministering before Acts 13. But he had not received beyond Acts 13 information. He had not even received up to that information. But when that information came, there was like an addition to his ministry. But there was really no addition. It was just that he was receiving. So when Paul said to Timothy to stir up the gift of God, he was referring to the manifestation of the Spirit, which is given to him. Now, observe this. In that manifestation of the Spirit, Paul highlights the gifts of the Spirit. He highlights it from verse 8 to verse 10. He highlights ministries from verse 28 to 29, then 30. Okay? All those things are in that manifestation that has been given. Individuals receive differently. Let us look at Acts of the Apostles. A simple thing. Tongues. In Acts 2, now just go to Acts 2, 8, 9 and 19. I'll just say a couple of things. Now, you will discover that in Acts 2, they were all in one room, day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost came into the room, as it were, indwelt their bodies, were tongues of fire upon each of them, and the Bible says in verse 4, that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to what? As, what did the Holy Ghost give them? Eh? What is utterance? The ability to speak. Okay? So what did they do to that utterance? Beautiful. When you see giving, then what you should see that the response of that fellow is to what? Beautiful. So they received utterance. Now, look at, please listen carefully. Notice Acts 1:8. You shall receive what? After which the Holy Ghost will come upon you. So the Holy Ghost will come upon you, but you will do what? Ability. Which is what they did in Acts 2. Now, look at Acts 8. In Acts 8, something different now happened. Somehow, Philip got there, preached Christ unto them. Christ is the fullness of God. They received the word, but they couldn't go beyond Philip's knowledge. Philip now sent a text message to Jerusalem and called on Peter and John, so that those ones who will come, lay hands. Philip believed, which is cool, that only the apostles could lay hands on men, that they will speak with tongues. Obviously, in Acts 2, only the apostles did it. So Philip believed that, so they came. So when they came, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost, look at Acts 8, have not fallen on any of them. That's what Luke said. The Holy Ghost had not fallen on them. Are you saying that? The Holy Ghost had not fallen upon any of them. Look at verse 16. Only that they were what? Eh? In what? Now, let us ask Luke a question. Can you be baptized in the name of Jesus and the Holy Ghost will not come on you? Of course not. Because Jesus, the baptism of Jesus is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. John baptized with water, but I will baptize with the Holy Ghost. Matthew 3:11, Acts 1:5. You shall what? Receive power. After which the Holy Ghost will come on you. That Holy Ghost coming on you is what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let me see if you are following this. Are you getting this? So the issue in Acts 8 really was Philip. So the apostles came, laid hands, and then men began to speak with tongues, as you can see, from can draw that conclusion. But you know, God is very, very humorous. Years ago, because I didn't know much, I was laying hands on the sick one day, and somebody that was very respected told me that, who asked me to lay hands on the sick? A lie, a lie. Before that day, do you know I didn't read it? A friend of mine used to lay hands on the sick, and I liked it, and I thought that there was signs. And I wondered, the guy said, is the apostles that he asked? Do you know, I said, eh. He said, yes. He said, so I have gone to someone else's office. He said that all the demons I had sent out, they will come after me. Do you know I fell sick? See, I fell sick. I said, Mobile. It was that night that I started shivering. That's a manifestation on his own. Do you know God is humorous? By Acts 9, God now called a man called Saul. Do you know who he sent to him to lay hands on him? A certain disciple. He made a mockery of Philip. Kilo she to lay hands, Philip. I'm not an apostle, sir, so wait. So he now sent Ananias. The way God told him, Ananias is not a ministry gift. He's just a brother in church. I'm very sure he's in the choir. So he just told him to lay hands on a to-be apostle. So, it's rubbish to think that you have to be an apostle to lay hands on someone to receive the utterance. So the gist in Acts 8, therefore, is what? They received. Was it the Holy Ghost coming on them? No. They received utterance. That's all. They just received from the manifestation of the Spirit. It couldn't have been the Holy Ghost coming on them, because we have seen that when you are baptized in the name of the Lord, what comes on you? The Holy Ghost comes on you. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Very clear. Acts 1:5. In not many days then you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Matthew 3:11. So, the gist really was the fact that these folks had not received power. But was the power available? So in Acts 10. I'm very sure that, you know what, let me tell you what Philip must have done. Philip, if I'm wrong, correct me. You can have just said, praise God, then I receive Christ. There is the Holy Ghost. There is the Holy Ghost, but you know, it was because of persecution that I came here. I didn't want to come. I just came on outreach. But you see something, we have some, if you see my pastor, since community, my pastor is conk. He will come, he's going to take time, oh. Don't they win that prayer of people that go to some churches? They'll come back, I don't want it again. So Philip came down and he called the apostles, two guys. Can you imagine, two men? He wasn't intelligent. If you cast out devils without Peter and John, the lame walk without Peter and John, the blind saw without Peter and John, lay hands without Peter and John. But you know, there's only a religion. You just think that it has to be Peter and John. That's why Acts 9 was written. A certain Ananias. You know why it's called certain? He wasn't known. In Acts 10, the Holy Ghost fell on them that believed, in verse 44. And they spoke with tongues. They spoke with tongues. They spoke with tongues. So the Holy Ghost falls on anyone that believes. So the speaking with tongues was their receiving. Very clear. Do you know what? It's very clear from Peter's message. Peter began to speak. He began to preach how God anointed Jesus with what? So the Jesus he was preaching was what? Was anointed with the Holy Ghost. So when those guys received the Jesus he was preaching, what did they receive? They anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. So they had to speak with tongues. So sometimes, and many times, it deals with the information the minister has. It is that information that helps for men to receive. Now, go on. In Acts 19, Paul met some folks, and he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you believed? And he said, we have not of any received any Holy Ghost. Verse 5. And when they heard this, verse 5, Acts 19, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They are hearing, they are believing his baptism. And then Paul laid his hands on them. And the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. This is Luke's account. It's not Paul's account. Obviously, Paul told them point blank as he shared the gospel with them. Because the very first information he brought to them was the Holy Ghost. So those folks were already fixated with John's baptism. That is why they needed a man to hands by that instrumentation to have them receive. So the Holy Ghost, listen carefully to this, coming upon people is at salvation. And he gives the inspiration. He gives the ability. A man will now step forward to receive what is available. It's not what God gave. It's not what he receives that God gave. He only received how much he knew that God gave. You see that in Acts 19, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. In Acts 2, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. In Acts 10, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. But today, you hardly find that demonstration. Why? Because we are still fighting on tongues. So, the issue on receiving is what we are talking about. You cannot receive beyond your knowledge. Because the Greek word receive is the word lambano. It means to take advantage of, to actually take hold of something. You must be aware of it. If you are not aware, you will not receive. So what happened to Omar? That day that I was called to the ministry was this. He received it. You know, Paul was called from the day he was saved. But it was in Acts 13 that he did what? Received it. Hence that instruction. It was in that day that he received. He received from the manifestation of the Spirit. So it's the receiving that seems to be experienced to us. In Christ, everything is available. Nothing is added after Christ Jesus. It's in receiving. And if you are wrongly taught, you will not receive. I'll say that again. If you are wrongly taught, you will not receive. You believe that, well, there is something that is special that you ought to do. I mean, I was in one camp meeting years ago. Maybe I said last week, I'm not sure. And thousands of people, and they asked us to tarry for the power of the Holy Ghost. And they were quoting the scripture, and I was laughing. I didn't know much, but I saw that tarrying had to do with the location, and we were in the wrong place. They're tarrying in Jerusalem. Where are you going to do? It takes a visa to go to Jerusalem. Say to your neighbor, say, it takes a visa to go to Jerusalem. So, I mean, I thought that we are tarrying in the wrong place. So everybody was waiting and say, Oh yeah, pray. And they were praying. I mean, I was praying in tongues. But I didn't let them hear me. Because my leaders were not praying in tongues. Who am I
I'm the chief of all. Amen. My, I can't be the person to talk now. So I just kept quiet. But you know, they were tarrying for the wrong things. Hallelujah. And I know that many did not receive because they thought that the Holy Ghost was coming from heaven. But you know something? You receive from what has been given to you. Praise God. So we'll just look at it from this point. What you stir up, and what you don't neglect, really, is the manifestation. What you stir up, is the manifestation. What has been given. That's why he told him not to neglect it. You can neglect it. As if you can put it behind. So note this. As we close, that the gifts of God are without repentance. So when you see Christians that the littlest of things, speaking with tongues, they don't do it. You know what's the problem? They have not received. But they are born again. The ability to speak with tongues has been given to them the day they met Jesus. The power of God to have signs and wonders in your preaching was given to you the day you met Jesus. Nothing comes after. But when it comes to the demonstrations of those things, you've got to receive. You've got to receive. It's in the receiving that we often differ. Now, as I'm teaching now, I have to go over some walls of Jericho in the minds of some people. You mean I can? You mean I can? Just like that day. You know, the demons came to me truly and I was sick. I was sick, oh. So the man now came as though to just show me that he really came from Sinai. He said, look, I told you. I told you. Then one day, 1992, I read a material by Charles and Francis Hunter. That for me was Acts 13 or 1 Timothy 4:14 or 2 Timothy 1:6. As I read that material, interestingly, that day I was sick. I was on the bed, a double decker, and I raised my two hands and said, dear Father, I received the ministry of healing the sick today. I said, I will preach this till the end of the world. I read that material, my eyes opened. Now, was that the day that the manifestation came to me? No. That was the day I received it. And I told myself, right on the sick bed, I'm going to preach the healing Jesus. I'm going to heal the sick. Do you know the interesting part? My first healing meeting afterwards, there were more people that went back sick than were healed. But know something, I had received. Hallelujah. I had received. I knew that with the things of God, it will get better with practice. As I got on more and more. You know some people, anything you do well, anything you do often and often, you get strong in it. Just like unbelief. If you do it over and over, you get ardent. Just like religion, you just become a koi koi. I mean, whatever you give yourself to, you will become. So I threw myself to it. And that was it. Concerning the gifts of God. It's given by God, it's received by you. The sharing and the not neglecting is how you receive. Blessed of God. Are you blessed of the word? Lift your hands, bless God. Just thank you.